Krishna has shown his mother the universal form within his mouth, and Mother Yasoda's devotion and has not allowed her to understand that her dearest son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the nature of love. This is the nature of pure love for Krishna. That knowledge of the opulences, the Aishwarya Shakti of Krishna, it minimizes the sweetness. Because after all, how can Mother Yasoda think that if I don't feed Krishna, he's getting so thin. If I don't feed him, what will happen to him? How could she think like this? How could the sweetness of her motherly love manifest if she understands that universes come from his skin holes, that all power and glory is manifest within him, that he is the supreme lawgiver, the supreme creator, the supreme destroyer? How could she think all Krishna needs to drink the milk from my breast? How could she think like that? She can't. So therefore, to facilitate her love, which is so deep and so perfect and so pure, to facilitate that love, the yogamaya energy of Krishna withdraws the ability of the Aishwarya Shakti to influence. This is true for, by and large, for all the residents of Vrindavan at all times, because their love is so unique and so intimate with Krishna. And it controls Krishna to such a unique degree, and we will get a glimpse of that in the 10th chapter of this 10th canto, ninth chapter of the 10th canto, which is entitled Mother Yasoda Binds Lord Krishna. Indeed, she will bind him, but what is the binding force that ties Krishna up and makes him act as if a small child? That is Mother Yasoda's incredible quantity of pure devotion, of love for Krishna, her bhakti, her prema bhakti, her parama prema bhakti. That is the binding that ties Krishna, or that causes Krishna to allow himself to be bound. So we shall hear about this. So text 1 and 2. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "One day, when Mother Yasoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about these activities." Now, Prabhupada's purport here is very sweet, and very instructive. Very instructive to whom? Because he's just said how important, we heard yesterday, he was saying how important these Vaishnava literatures are, because, and therefore he spent so much time, so much of his energy in practice, practically he organized the society, or a great part of his society, around distributing them because of their importance, how they have the potency to affect people's lives, because they give the such perfect and pure association. So here's what Prabhupada says in his purport about this. Anyone remember anything from the verse before we go on to the purport? Yes.
She composed songs about Krishna's activities.
And she enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Thank you. Anyone remember anything else? One day, when Mother Yasoda saw that all of her maidservants were engaged in other household affairs. She personally began to churn the yogurt. It's interesting that when Prabhupada first organized the Sunday feasts, he started organizing the Sunday feasts in New York. That was one of the first programs that were established, preaching programs. But he really gave shape to how he wanted them run in Los Angeles in the late 60s. And what he wanted, and there's a little relevance here, what he wanted was that each Sunday feast not to be, he didn't want it to be RT lecture feast, you know, in a very, very mechanical way. It's not that he specifically didn't want that. But what he wanted was to be each feast, Sunday feast, to be like a festival with different events going on. That it wouldn't be just the same thing. And one of the festivals of the Sunday festivals that was organized was a butter churning festival in Los Angeles, where they got a big milk container, and they made a churning rod, and they put rope around it, and then everyone and all the guests had an opportunity to churn the milk and milk into butter. And then that butter was offered to Rukmini Dorkadis, offered to the deities. Were you there, like turning for the butter churning festival? Was that right before you came? And then there were puppet shows they would have one week, and there were a festival about this and dramas all the time. And it was quite exciting. That was a focus of the attention. And it was also quite... No one knew anything about culture or anything really. So the devotees had been working so hard all week and eating so austerely, so they were starving when it came to the time for the Sunday feast, and it was so opulent, and they were young and hungry and had good digestion in those days, but you had to preach to the guests. So you'd have your plate of prasadam, and the guests would come and they would have their plate of prasadam. And I remember this happening so many times at 61 Second Avenue. This was this after 26 Second Avenue in New York. It was 61 Second Avenue. You'd be preaching to the guests, and you'd, you know, devour everything on your plate, the prasadam. And then the guests would be sitting there, and, you know, everything was a little bit esoteric for them, all the food, so they would leave something. And every week there were samosas. So the guests, you'd say, excuse me, are you going to eat that? The samosa. It's true. We were very, very, everyone was so innocent and total puggle, okay, but innocent, very innocent, and also very hungry. And then, of course, gradually we understood that's not enough. Not only is it not polite, but it's also shouldn't eat food off of another's plate like that. But the idea being that everything was a festival. And Prabhupada said we could have a festival every day if we had the proper support. Every day have a new event, something very exciting, a festival, an opportunity for all different kinds of people to engage their natural talents and abilities in Krishna's service. So in any case, what made me think of this was the butter churning festival that Mother Yasoda was performing for Krishna's pleasure. So she personally began to churn the yogurt for Krishna. She had so many servants, but she personally began to churn the yogurt for Krishna. And while she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, in her own way she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about those activities. Here is Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quoting from the Vaishnava Toshini of Srila Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot of yogurt and being bound by Mother Yasoda took place on the Diwali day, or Deepamalika. Even today in India, this festival is generally celebrated very gorgeously in the month of Kartik by fireworks and lights all night long. Boom, 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 boom. Especially, Prabhupada says, in Bombay. And Prabhupada had, and Vrindavan, it's so extreme, but Bombay must be really extreme. Did you notice this in Bombay? Diwali? It is to be understood that amongst all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, listen to this, amongst all the cows of Nanda Maharaj, several of Mother Yasoda's cows ate only grasses so flavorful that the grasses would automatically flavor the milk. So there were different kinds of grasses, and if cows ate specific kinds of grasses, that would influence the kind of milk that they produced. So special cows eating specially succulent grasses. Now, why did Mother Yasoda do this? Mother Yasoda wanted to collect the milk from these cows, make it into yogurt, and churn it into butter personally. Since she thought that this child Krishna was going to the houses of neighborhood gopis and gopis to steal butter because he did not like the milk and yogurt ordinarily prepared. So this is what she was thinking. Always everything for Krishna's pleasure. We heard in the last chapter how naughty he was, just stealing butter from and yogurt from all and milk from all the neighborhood houses. So Mother Yasoda was thinking that Krishna must think that the yogurt and butter that we have here isn't of a high enough quality. So therefore, he goes and steals. So let me make myself, I'll make it some special, make it so specially. So special cows, special weight, special grasses. And then she herself was churning the yogurt. Now listen to this. While churning the butter, Mother Yasoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yasoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Why? Because she loved him. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Sakatasura, Trinavarta. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice. Listen to this sentence. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yasoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. These are the persons we should follow. Follow the example of Mother Yasoda. Now, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. This is the first two texts, and he comments in a similar way, or Prabhupada. He had some references from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur even. This chapter describes how Krishna stopped Yasoda from churning yogurt in order to drink her breast milk, and how Yasoda put Krishna down to go elsewhere. The first text out of the two, Krishna became angry because he was not finished drinking, so he broke the churning pot, stole butter, and was bound up by Mother Yasoda. Quote, "You bind up the people who are engulfed in theft, anger, and other low qualities, and make them cry." How does Krishna bind up those people and make them cry? especially not by the mode of goodness and by passion and especially by ignorance, and therefore they have to cry. Why? Because the mode of passion brings such distress and the mode of ignorance brings such deep ignorance, which is such deep misery, a deep covering of the soul, so they have to cry. But now you, who have become implicated in theft, because he's going to steal butter, overwhelmed with anger and bound up by your soda, are crying. That's what Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says. So this will happen later, that the Supreme Absolute Truth is going to cry. He continues, the most astonishing and uncommon parental love, wherein Krishna became the object and Nanda and Yasoda were the shelter, must have been the result of most extraordinary and unparalleled forms of sadhana. But the story of Drona and Dara did not reveal such extraordinary sadhana. Seeing that Prickett was not too pleased, Sukadev told him about Krishna's Damodar Leela to give the real answer to Prickett's question, which what past auspicious activities did Yasoda and Nanda perform to achieve the perfection of getting Krishna as their son? So somewhere in here, that question shall be answered in a more pleasing way. Because we heard yesterday that Sukadev answered the question in a very neutral way. But perhaps we'll hear it here. I don't remember exactly where it is, but maybe someone will note where it is. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment continues. On the Diwali day, the festival day of lighting ghee lamps, Yasoda began churning yogurt for Krishna's pleasure. She became absorbed in thought how from amongst her husband's countless cows there were 7 or 8 who were as rare as a horse with 1 black ear, who ate the most fragrant grass and who gave the tastiest fragrant milk for the satisfaction of her son. Yasoda personally churned because she wanted to make special butter for her son. How could her servants, who often burned the milk, do this properly? Driven by stubbornness arising from Vatsalya Prem, Yasoda concluded that others could not do the job properly. From that day forward, Yasoda resolved that she would prepare all of Krishna's buttermilk and other eatables. They would be so tasty that Krishna would no longer go to the houses of others to steal. Yasoda was churning the best yogurt from among countless samples that she had prepared the day before with her own hands. Her only desire was to please Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. It is not exactly that she minded Krishna stealing, but she thought that the stealing, Krishna's stealing, indicated that there was a dissatisfaction, a lack within him. And she could not tolerate that, that the lack was caused by some food, and the food she was giving him was insufficient. So let me make this just perfect. And the second text, the ladies of Braja poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities. Having collected all these songs, Mother Yasoda began to sing these songs in order to pacify her longing to see Krishna, who was sleeping in another room. This is the nature of this type of pure prema, that even a moment, asleshava padaratam panastumam, oops, wrong verse, yugayitam nameshena chakshusha svayishayitam, that even one moment when one has such deep love, even a moment's separation is intolerable. Now text 3. Dressed in a saffron yellow sari. What color sari? Saffron yellow. With a belt tied about her full hips, Mother Yasoda pulled on the churning rope, laboring considerably, her bangles and earrings moving and vibrating, and her whole body shaking. Because of her intense love for her child, her breasts were wet with milk. Her face, with its very beautiful eyebrows, was wet with perspiration, and malati flowers were falling from her hair. So this scene is very wonderful. And listen to Prabhupada's comment, and then we'll hear Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. So this is the scene, actually, or this particular description is one for meditation for those who wish to cultivate Vatsalya Prem. So purport. Anyone who desires to be Krishna conscious in motherly affection or parental affection should contemplate the bodily features of Mother Yasoda. It is not that one should desire to become like Yasoda, for this is Mayavad. Either in parental affection or conjugal love, friendship or servitorship, in any way, we must follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, not try to become like them, not imitate them, in other words. Therefore, this description is provided here. Advanced devotees must cherish this description, advanced devotees must cherish this description always, thinking of Mother Yasoda's features, how she was dressed, how she was working and perspiring, how beautifully the flowers were arranged in her hair, and so on. One should take advantage of the full description provided here by thinking of Mother Yasoda in maternal affection for Krishna. Just how much that love for Krishna was overflowing from her heart, which was soaked with her love for Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur will read just a little of his purport, his commentary. Yasoda's yellow sari, choman, was very fine, being made from fibers of the Atasi tree. According to the Kramadapik, which I believe is Jiva Goswami's commentary on the 10th canto, Yasoda's complexion was blackish. She wore a belt around her full hips while churning the butter. The beauty of all of Yasoda's limbs is indicated just by mentioning her wide hips, her moving eyebrows and tinkling bangles, her arms, tired from churning, and her sweating face both shone. Malati flowers fell like drops of rain from Yasoda's beautiful hair, which was blacker than a rain cloud. Text 4. While Mother Yasoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her. So he was in another room, perhaps resting, and she was churning butter for his pleasure. And suddenly, Krishna appeared before her to increase her transcendental pleasure. Why would that increase her transcendental pleasure? Yeah, because she was missing him. So much separation from Krishna. For a few moments, she didn't see him, so she was missing him. And then when he came, her pleasure would be fulfilled because he was there. So what did Krishna do? To increase, and in order to increase her transcendental pleasure, this is what he did. He caught hold of the churning rod. He stopped it to prevent her from churning. Purport. Krishna was sleeping within the room, and as soon as he got up, he became hungry and went to his mother. Wanting to stop her from churning and drink the milk of her breast, he stopped her from moving the churning rod. So this was a source of ecstasy for Mother Yasoda. Here's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's short purport. Krishna started crying from hunger upon waking in the morning. And leaving his room, Krishna approached Yasoda and held the churning rod to indicate she should stop churning and attend to him. Yasoda's bliss increased unlimitedly upon perceiving Krishna's cleverness. So he didn't say anything. He just stopped he held on to the churning rod so she couldn't churn anymore. And she understood the meaning of this act, even though he didn't directly state it. You stop everything, your business is to take care of me, you feed me now. Text 5. What do you think Mother Yasoda did? Mother Yasoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap. She stopped everything. She embraced him. He sat on her lap, and she began to look on upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was flowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, so there was milk on the oven, Krishna had woken up, now he was on her lap, the churning had been stopped. The milk pan on the oven, the fire, because the milk has to be boiled before it's given, before it's drunk. So the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, and she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. Although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast, so she had to make a choice. And she chose to stop the milk from boiling over. So she stopped feeding Krishna. Purport. Everything in the household affairs of Mother Yasoda was meant for Krishna. Although Krishna was drinking the breast milk of Mother Yasoda, when she saw that the milk pan in the kitchen was overflowing, she had to take care of it immediately, and thus she left her son, and then, who then became very angry, not having been fully satisfied with drinking the milk of her breast. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yasoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of devotee to do one thing first and other things later. So that type of, in today's parlance, we call that prioritizing. We have to order what's most important to do. We do that first, then the second most important thing second. So even in Krishna's service, this type of activity has to be done. Even on the platform of love and affection, on the pure platform. Because one can't do everything all at the same time. And then Prabhupada then says, quite interestingly, the proper intuition by which to do this, to choose what to do first and what to do second, is given by Krishna. Tesham satate yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam Tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te, from Bhagavad Gita 10.10. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first and what to do next on the platform of absolute truth. And here is the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to text 5. Short commentary. Mother Yasoda had Krishna had come and held the churning rod, and Mother Yasoda said, "Oh, how intelligent this child is." Saying this, Yasoda stopped churning and put Krishna on her lap to feed him her breast milk. But why did Mother Yasoda suddenly get up and leave? She got up to attend to the milk boiling over on the stove. But how could Mother Yasoda show so much interest in the boiling milk that she left Krishna unsatisfied and hungry? He asked that question. Certainly there was more milk. There were unlimited cows with unlimited milk. And Krishna was unsatisfied. Mother would do anything to satisfy Krishna. But yet she left him to save the milk from boiling over. Yasoda was so concerned for what Krishna would eat and drink that she could temporarily ignore Krishna. So there was no, it wasn't separate from her love for Krishna. Actually, her doing that was an extension of her love for Krishna, because her only concern was that Krishna would eat and drink nicely. Only those under the sway of prema can understand or talk about the remarkable actions of one impelled by pure love for Krishna. No one else can understand these matters. Text 6. So what? How did Krishna react? So this was what Mother Yasoda did. And what did Krishna do? Being very angry and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, Krishna, with false tears in his eyes, broke the container of yogurt with a piece of stone. Then he entered a room and began to eat the freshly churned butter in a solitary place. He was very angry. Purport. It is natural that when a child becomes angry, he can begin crying with false tears in his eyes. So Krishna did this, and biting his reddish lips with his teeth, he broke the pot with a stone, entered a room, and began to eat the freshly churned butter. Did anyone ever taste freshly churned butter? You've tasted it? How do you ever taste it?
I had it at school once.
But where did the milk come from? The freshly milk cows?
Not with the same quality as they've got.
Probably not. But did you milk the cows to get the milk? No. So it was just bought milk?
Yeah, but we changed it.
And you had a machine, obviously. By hand?
Yeah, what done that?
Huh? Of course, you did that.
Yeah, because I'm really old. My grandfather's farm used to churn it and make butter.
With a
yeah,
and did you milk the cows too?
Yeah, yeah.
And how did it taste?
Terrible. The butter in the shop is much nicer.
There's always one like that in every. Yes.
You. The butter doesn't come straight from the milk. It has to come from yogurt. You churn the yogurt. You churn, but not the milk.
Hmm. When you don't you churn cream? You can do it.
Yeah,
there's two ways to do it, actually. You can do it from yogurt or you can do it from the cream. The milk that's full with cream in it. There's two ways, as I understand. You've churned yogurt and you've milked cows?
Not really.
Yeah. Raise your hand if you've milked cows this way. Oh, anyway, it shows you that I never did. Someone from New York. I didn't even know potatoes came from the ground until I was like 30 years old. I remember the first time, because when I was living in Kiranagari, when I first got there, they plowed the earth where they had planted potatoes. And there were like thousands of potatoes there, and I was amazed. I was so excited. And I said, well, the potatoes are under the ground. That's why they have dirt on them when you buy them. And now I understood. I mean, I was really just living in a city. You just don't know. At least I didn't know anything about where anything came from. You have any comment to make about that? Prahlad Bhakta, Prabhu. You'll leave that one.
It's so sad.
Yes, it's so sad. It's true. So after Krishna did this, he began to eat the freshly churned butter. Six. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Though it was useless, Krishna shed tears, as this is the nature of a small child. Krishna used a stone to make a hole in the pot without making any sound. Then he went into another room and ate the butter made from the previous day's milk. Mother Yasoda, after taking down the hot milk from the oven, returned to the churning spot, and when she saw that the container of yogurt was broken and that Krishna was not present, she concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. Purport. Seeing the pot broken and Krishna not present, Yasoda definitely concluded that the breaking of the pot was the work of Krishna. There was no doubt about it. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we'll read just one line of his purport to 7. Yasoda concluded that this was definitely the work of her son. Touching her forefinger to her nose, she started laughing. Look what he's done. All this, Krishna's doing all this just to excite the love of Mother Yasoda. Krishna at that time was sitting on an upside down wooden mortar for grinding spices and was distributing milk preparations such as yogurt and butter to the monkeys as he liked. Because of having stolen, he was looking all around with great anxiety. Now remember, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who had Satchidananda Vigraha Nadir Adya Govindam Sarva Karana Karanam Sutre Maniganaiva. Everything rests upon him in creation as pearls are strung on a thread. And he was looking all around in great anxiety, suspecting that he might be chastised by his mother. Mother Yasoda, she came back. She saw that the pot had been broken. She understood it was definitely Krishna had done it, and she began looking for him. And upon seeing him, she very cautiously approached him from behind. He was in a room eating butter, the day before's butter from the milk. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Yasoda found Krishna. How did she find him? By his butter-smeared footprints, and hearing the jingling sound of his waste bells and the noises in the other room. Surmising that Krishna was eating butter, Yasoda's face broke into a smile. A few seconds later, she decided to go into the room. But by that time, Krishna had gone out the back door and into the yard. There Krishna sat cross-legged on top of an upside-down wooden mortar for grinding spices due to fear of crows and other animals, because the animals would come, but yet he was feeding it to the monkeys. This verse describes this. After stealing the butter pot hanging from the ceiling of the storeroom, Krishna brought it there. He was afraid of being beaten by his mother for having stolen the butter, so he was anxiously looking hither and thither and looking for a path of escape. Seeing Krishna from inside the house by craning her neck, Yasoda then very cautiously and silently approached him from behind so that Krishna could not see her and that she could catch him in her hands. Next. 9. When Krishna saw that his mother stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee, as if very much afraid. Bitavat is this Sanskrit word, as if bhaya, as if afraid. Although yogis try to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they fail to reach him. But Mother Yasoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began following Krishna to catch him. Prabhupada's purport. Yogis, mystics want to catch Krishna as Paramatma, and with great austerities and penances they try to approach him, yet they cannot. Here we see, however, that Krishna is going to be caught by Yasoda and is running away in fear. This illustrates the difference between bhaktas and the yogis. Yogis cannot reach Krishna, but for pure devotees like Mother Yasoda, Krishna is already caught. Krishna was even afraid of Mother Yasoda's stick. This was mentioned by Queen Kunti in her prayers. Baya bhavanaya stitasya. Bhagavatam 1.8.31. Krishna is afraid of Mother Yasoda, and yogis are afraid of Krishna. Yogis try to reach Krishna by Jnana Yoga and other yogas, but fail. Yet, although Mother Yasoda was a woman, Krishna was afraid of her, as clearly described in this verse. comment to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yasoda held a stick in a hand to instill fear in Krishna. He is described as very much afraid, Bitavat, because he understood the great affection of his mother, although internally Krishna had no fear. Or it can mean that Krishna stood up and fled in a fearful manner. Queen Kunti said in Bhagavatam 1.8.31, O Krishna, Yasoda took a rope to bind you when you committed an offense, and your perturbed eyes overflooded with tears which washed the mascara from your eyes. You were afraid, though fear personified is afraid of you. This sight is bewildering to me. Yasoda chased her son, who can never be attained even by great mystics and yogis who perform austerities, penances, and meditation to enter Brahman. This point is made clear in text 21. Nayam Sukapo Bhagavan, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, is not easily attainable. Very difficult. But yet we know that Mother Yasoda is going to capture Krishna. Yogis cannot do it, karmis cannot do it, jnanis cannot do it, but Mother Yasoda is going to capture Krishna. Text 10. While following Krishna, Mother Yasoda, her thin waist overburdened by her heavy breasts, naturally had to reduce her speed. Because of following Krishna very swiftly, because Krishna was running, he was afraid, she had a stick in her hand, her hair became loose, and the flowers in her hair were falling after her. Yet she did not fail to capture her son Krishna. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Yogis cannot capture Krishna by severe penances and austerities, but Mother Yasoda, despite all obstacles, was finally able to catch Krishna without difficulty. This is the difference between a yogi and a bhakta. Yogis cannot even enter into the effulgence of Krishna. Yasya prabhapabhato jagaranda koti kotishu, from Brahma Samhita. In that effulgence, there are millions of universes, but yogis and jnanis cannot enter that effulgence even after many, many years of austerities, whereas bhaktas can capture Krishna simply by love and affection. This is the example shown here by Mother Yasoda. Krishna therefore confirms that if one wants to capture him, one must undertake devotional service. Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanya chasmi tatvata tatomam tatvato gyatva visite taranantaram. Bhaktis even enter the planet of Krishna very easily, but the less intelligent yogis and jnanis, by their meditation, remain running after Krishna, and even if they enter Krishna's effulgence, they fall down. The comment of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to text 10. Short comment. One should not think that just as the yogis cannot catch Krishna, neither could Mother Yasoda. This verse explains that Yasoda's hair came undone, and the flowers in her hair fell behind her as if they were following her. Yasoda caught Krishna from behind. Text 11, which is the last verse probably that we'll read today. When caught by Mother Yasoda, Krishna became more and more afraid and admitted to being an offender. I did it, I'm sorry. As she looked upon him, she saw that he was crying. His tears mixed with the black ointment around his eyes. And as he rubbed his eyes with his hands, he smeared the ointment all over his face. Mother Yasoda, catching her beautiful son by the hand, mildly began to chastise him. Because what had Krishna done? He broke the pot, first of all with a stone. Then he went and stole more yogurt and butter and began to eat it and fed it to the monkeys. And he ran away from her. She was chasing him with a stick in her hand. She was tired. because he was young and swift. Prabhupada's purport. From these dealings between Mother Yasoda and Krishna, we can understand the exalted position of a pure devotee in loving service to the Lord. Yogis, jnanis, karmis, and Vedantas cannot even approach Krishna. They must remain very, very far away from him and try to enter into his bodily effulgence. Although this also they are unable to do. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva always worship the Lord by meditation and by service. Even the most powerful Yamaraj fears Krishna. Therefore, as we find in the history of Ajamil, Yamaraj instructed his followers not even to approach the devotees, what to speak of capturing them. In other words, Yamaraj also fears Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Yet, this Krishna became so dependent on Mother Yasoda that when she simply showed Krishna the stick in her hand, Krishna admitted to being an offender and began to cry like an ordinary child. So the pastimes of Krishna, or the fact that Krishna is a person, or that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and a coward boy, how can one understand it? Prabhupada quoted before that, Bhakti Amam Abhijananti Yavanyas Tasmi Tatvata. Even if one is qualified by being a Vedantist, a renunciant, a great giver of charity, a great performer of sacrifices, a yogi, these are not the qualifications. No one can know Krishna, capture him, except the exalted bhaktas who love him. Their love and affection binds Krishna, as we'll see. So Yamaraj instructed his followers not even to approach the devotees, what to speak of capturing them. In other words, Yamaraj also fears Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Yet this Krishna became so dependent on Mother Yasoda that when she simply showed Krishna the stick in her hand, Krishna admitted to being an offender, began to cry like an ordinary child. Mother Yasoda, of course, did not want to chastise her beloved child very much, and therefore she immediately threw a stick away and simply rebuked Krishna, saying, "Now I shall bind you so that you cannot commit any further offensive activities. Now, for the time being, you play with your playmates." This shows the position of a pure devotee. They're so powerful, they can chastise the Supreme Lord, and the devotee and the Lord accepts it, because it is done with full, pure love, nothing else. There is no other, not even the slightest tinge of any other motive is in the heart. And here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Not only did Yasoda catch Krishna, who cannot be realized by the best of yogis, but she also scolded that Supreme Person who was constantly praised by Lord Brahma, Shiva, and other exalted demigods. How incredible that the demigods are offering prayers to Lord Krishna to please him, and Mother Yasoda is scolding him. And that pleases Krishna so much more than the prayers offered in awe and reverence by the demigods, because the love is of a different quality. With a stick in her hand, Mother Yasoda instilled fear in Krishna, who instills fear in time and death personified. This verse is spoken with this intention, to make that point, those points. Krishna was rubbing his eyes, which were smeared with black ointment, anjani, with the back of his left hand. He was rubbing his eyes like this. Mother Yasoda held Krishna's right hand. That's why he wasn't using both hands, because he was running away before. So with her, she was holding Krishna's right hand and threatened him with a stick. So in one hand she was holding a stick, the other hand she was holding Krishna's right hand, and Krishna was rubbing his eyes and crying and crying. And this is what she said: "You have such a restless nature, O friend of the monkeys, pot breaker." Where will you get your butter today? I'm holding you. I'll show you something. Where will you get your butter today? Now I shall bind you so that you cannot steal butter and eat it with your friends. Are you afraid that I will beat you with a stick? While rebuking Krishna, Yasoda lifted the stick as if to beat him, though she would never do such a thing. So we'll stop here. Wonder what will happen next. Will Krishna break free from her hand and run away and then immediately steal more butter and do something still more naughty? Will Mother Yasoda follow through on her threat to beat him, or her other threat? Will she just throw away the stick and tie him up? If so, what will she tie him to? How will she tie him? And what will happen when she ties him? This shall be the subject, if Krishna allows, of tomorrow's class. What will happen next? Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes, Manuel.
You said he claimed to be God, that's how he claimed.
What Prabhupada said, yes.
Huh?
What Prabhupada said.
And so, one has to meditate on this theme of not being said.
Yes.
If all the positions are taken in the spiritual world, how can one develop and serve Krishna in that institution?
All the top positions are filled. Mother Yasoda is already there, Nanda Maharaj is there, all the elderly gopis are there, but one can become a servant of the servant, and somehow or another Krishna will make a spot for us. The problem really isn't that there is no service for us. The problem is we don't desire to do anything. That's the more accurately the problem. But from our side, we should know that all we can become is an insignificant servant, because Krishna has billions and billions and billions and billions, countless billions of servants already. All we can become is an insignificant servant. But that is wonderful, and it's mysterious, because although the desire of the devotee may be to serve the servant of the servant of servant of Krishna, thinking that they can give Krishna so much more pleasure than me, but let me, if I can do some service, I'm very fortunate, so let me serve, do what I can. But yet, even though there is a chain like that, being the servant of the servant, one also simultaneously directly deals with Krishna. This is mysterious. This is Krishna's Achintya Shakti. And also, each Krishna has unlimited aspects, and a devotee will be able, each individual's devotee will be able to appreciate a specific aspect of Krishna that Krishna like reserves for him only, and will be able to reciprocate with that. So in that sense, Krishna also needs our service. Of course, does it in another sense, certainly, but yet we have our little contribution to make, that's that Krishna will love us for the devotion that we make, that offering. But yet, so we don't think that we're, so we never think we're a big devotee, which is very dangerous. We should always think that I'm just a servant of the previous of Prabhupada, of my spiritual master, of the previous acharyas. That is the proper mood. So those other type of concepts that we just, all we can be forever is an insignificant servant, is explained in that way just to make sure that we don't become proud in any way, because pride ruins the offerings that we make. And it also forces Krishna to teach us humility.
So being an insignificant servant of a servant and assisting Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj to serve Krishna, does one remain in the same mood?
One could have the mood. It depends. The soul, every soul has a particular, a seed of devotion within them. That's their actual nature. Sarup savarhoi golo kete stiti. That the actual sarup of the living entity is in golok, but it's actually, that's our actual natural rupa, our actual sarup, his form, his nature. So when the soul is, the coverings of matter are removed and he's mature in his love, he regains his natural position, so to speak. And whatever he is, he is. Whatever he wants, whatever will satisfy him, that's what he becomes in one, in that way. Any other questions or comments?
You mentioned about this position, the mind in Yashodhanatha, in 8th chapter, 49 text.
It mentions the what?
38 page.
Yeah.
It says
485? Text 49? Yeah, okay.
Before Krishna's appearance, Drona and her appear in order to become his father and mother. It is they who appear in Nanda Maharaj and his wife, Yashoda. In other words, it is not possible for a sadhana siddha, living being, to become the father or mother of Krishna. For Krishna's father and mother are already designated, but by following the principle exhibited by Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and their associate, the inhabitant of Vrindavan, ordinary living beings may attain such affection as exhibited by Nanda and Yashoda.
That's the answer Prabhu's question. But one cannot become Nanda and Yashoda. They have the, thank you, the text, one of the texts we read yesterday, they have the greatest love. And their love enlivens everyone else's love even. Even though everyone there loves Krishna so much, their love enlivens everyone else's love. Thank you. Okay, let's stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nandiya Soda Krishna ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.